Good morning, and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Tuesday, March 26th. On today's show, gender discrimination in finance holds back women, and financial services are counting on AI for a productivity boost. Plus, we'll hear from the regional director of finance. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with a pressing issue that continues to persist in our society. Despite record numbers of women joining the workforce, gender equality remains elusive, especially in the finance industry, where women earn less than men, have fewer promotion opportunities, and it's often considered taboo to voice these concerns. Even after years of lawsuits and public shaming, the situation has seen little improvement. Here to discuss this issue further is our correspondent, Celeste. Can you give us an overview of the current state of gender equality in the finance industry?
Certainly, David. As of 2023, women held only 18% of C-suite positions in financial services globally. Even in these high positions, female directors are paid significantly less than their male counterparts. In the UK, for instance, female directors at financial services companies can expect to earn, on average, 2/3 less than their male peers. The talent pipeline for the next generation of female leaders is also growing at a much slower rate than the number of women in the C-suite, which doesn't bode well for closing the gender gap.
That's quite concerning. Can you elaborate on the impact of this gender inequality on the broader economy?
Absolutely. The finance industry plays a crucial role in the economy, mediating investment and credit, which allow businesses to grow and economies to thrive. However, the industry is dominated by a culture that values women less than men. This irrational prejudice has a tangible cost. Studies show substantial evidence of discrimination by banks against women entrepreneurs who are less likely to receive loan approvals, pay higher interest rates, and receive smaller funding amounts than male-led businesses. This is despite data showing that female-led businesses are a safer bet.
So what can be done to address this issue?
We need a new approach. Strong networks are needed to support female professionals in their careers. Male managers and HR teams need to be educated to identify their own biases and correct them. Progressive legislation can be effective in reducing discrimination women suffer, particularly in promotion opportunities and pay. However, it's harder to legislate against a toxic work culture or more subtle forms of discrimination. The United Nations Global Compact is launching the Invest in Women platform to share promising practices to achieve equal representation across all levels of management and leadership in finance.
That's a promising initiative. What kind of impact could this have on the finance industry?
Research by the IMF shows that the gender gap in leadership impacts bank stability. Banks with more women board members have higher capital buffers, fewer non-performing loans, and greater resistance to stress. If we could make finance, banking, and investment gender neutral, it could have a significant positive impact on the industry and the broader economy.
Thank you, Celeste, for your insights. Speaking of striving for innovation, let's turn our attention to the financial sector, where artificial intelligence is the latest technology shaking things up. Companies are exploring new ways of working and boosting productivity with AI. To discuss this further, we have Bella, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Bella, can you tell us more about how AI is influencing the financial sector?
Certainly, David. AI is starting to have an influence in several areas of finance. For instance, in investment banking and investment management, AI is being used increasingly as the first line of support for help desk functions. Insurers are also turning to the technology to help with underwriting and pricing premium quotes. For example, last year, UK insurer Hiscox unveiled its own AI model, built in collaboration with Google, a move hailed as the first in the London insurance market.
Interesting. What's driving this change?
A number of factors are driving the change. Among the most important is that customers want a high-end digital experience when handling finance. Changing customer expectations, competitive disruption, the emergence of business ecosystems and platforms, cybersecurity threats, operational resilience, and regulatory actions are all accelerating the pace of transformation in financial services and quickening the adoption of AI.
And how is AI improving employee efficiency and productivity?
Virtual assistants are key here. They're evolving from novelties and useful accessories to potentially transformative tools. Any complex workflow, from financial crimes detection and evaluating regulatory compliance to payments processing, can benefit from a virtual assistant that generates actionable outcomes to assist a human agent.
How widespread is the adoption of AI in financial services?
Data from Harvey Nash reveals that a majority of companies plan to use the technology. In a survey of financial services firms last year, more than 60% said they were actively considering piloting or implementing AI. Levels of take-up varied by task, ranging from 70% for creating or testing code to 46% for creating graphics or images.
What about the impact of AI on jobs in the financial sector?
While there has been significant focus on where jobs will be lost, it's believed that AI will augment human roles rather than fully replace them, with new jobs opening up to help push the technology. For instance, financial institutions are expected to bolster their technology teams to include generative AI experts, including prompt engineers. These teams will train staff across a range of functions to become familiar with generative AI, as it will be used to enhance their day-to-day productivity.
And what about the potential risks and challenges associated with the use of AI in finance?
There are indeed challenges. The extent of AI's use remains unclear, as governments around the world race to bring in new legislation to oversee the technology. Issues range from how much energy AI servers might use to how to combat its use by scammers. In the UK, the government is taking a pro-innovation approach with the stated aim of making the country more competitive. However, there is a common belief in the industry that regulation and security need to be fully in place before real change can occur.
Thanks for that update, Bella. And speaking of finance, Graham Media is offering an exceptional opportunity for a full-time regional director of finance position. This role serves as a crucial part of the corporate finance team, monitoring key business metrics and identifying risks and opportunities. The position will report to the VP CFO of Graham Media Group and will work closely with the director of accounting and director of FP&A. Michael, our correspondent for Simply Finance, is here to discuss this in more detail. Can you tell us more about the responsibilities of this role, Michael?
Certainly, David. The Regional Director of Finance will be responsible for overseeing the financial operations of the television stations and digital media businesses. This includes managing financial planning, budgeting, forecasting, and accounting functions. They will also ensure that all financial reports are accurate and comply with regulatory standards and company policies. The role will handle a minimum of 2 Graham Media Group markets.
What are some of the key tasks that this role will be expected to perform?
The Regional Director of Finance will develop and implement financial strategies to ensure the financial health and stability of the station. They will prepare and manage the annual budget and capital plans, conduct financial analysis and modeling, and oversee the accounting function. They will also monitor and report on the company's financial performance to the general manager, department heads, and corporate VP CFO. Additionally, they will be required to travel to the markets they are handling for key deliverables and meetings.
What qualifications are Graham Media looking for in candidates for this role?
Candidates should have a bachelor's degree in finance, accounting, or a related field, with an MBA or CPA preferred. They should have at least 10 years of experience in finance or accounting, with at least 5 years in a leadership role. Experience in the television, digital, or media industry is preferred, but not required. They should also have strong financial analysis and modeling skills, excellent communication and interpersonal skills, and demonstrated leadership and management skills.
And how can interested candidates apply for this position?
Interested candidates can apply by sending their resume to kparker@grahammedia.com. However, any offer of employment is conditional upon the successful completion of a pre-employment drug screening, investigative background check, employment education verifications, and reference checks.
That was Simply Finance reporter Michael. Thanks for the insights. Speaking of finance, retirement planning is a crucial aspect of financial management. While traditional retirement funds, like 401ks and IRAs, are common, some people wonder if there are other ways to retire comfortably. Today, we're discussing four strategies that financial planners have seen their millionaire clients use to retire without traditional retirement funds. Abby, our correspondent for Simply Finance, is here to delve into these strategies. So, Abby, what's the first strategy that these millionaires use?
The first strategy, David, is avoiding debt. Financial planner R.J. Weiss points out that those who've managed to build up a net worth of over $1 million without using traditional retirement funds have carried very little debt during their working years and into retirement. This allows them to take more risk with their overall portfolio.
That's an interesting point. And what's the second strategy?
The second strategy involves having income-producing assets. This could include a small business that continues to pay out a salary even after the owner retires, or a diversified mix of cash-producing real estate that brings in monthly income. This ensures a consistent cash flow throughout retirement.
Living off income-producing assets sounds like a smart move. What's the third strategy?
The third strategy is living on half of what they earn. Financial planner Ronit Rogoshinsky has a client who lives below her means, budgeting for fun but always looking for the best deals and living within a narrow budget. This allows her to save a significant amount for retirement.
That's certainly a disciplined approach. And the fourth strategy?
The fourth strategy is to reinvest the cash they earn from assets. Financial planner Farron Doggs suggests that income or distributions received from assets should be reinvested into successful businesses, real estate projects, or stock market-related investments. This keeps the reinvestment cycle going and helps grow wealth.
Abby's insights into non-traditional retirement planning certainly provide food for thought. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.